Well, tonight we're going to have somebody special. It's going to definitely not me is going to preach tonight because I'm standing here without my microphone on my ear. Tonight we're going to have somebody special. He's a guy who serves and ministered in our Every Nation Church Penang. And over the years, we've known Calvin, and he's really a faithful man of God. He's with his wife, Suli, here. Suli, why don't you stand up and show everybody this? Suli is very artistic. She really knows how to do all the crafts, and she does online business, right? Amazing. Well, Calvin has ministered in our Penang church, and he has been really preaching and ministering to the people. And he decided to move to KL. And when he decided that he would join Every Nation Gateway, I say, woohoo! Yes! So it's really our gain, and I wouldn't say it's a loss to Penang, because I'm sure he goes back every now and then. But we are so grateful to have him here, and tonight he's actually the deputy principal of Sergi College, right? And so he's also can be very instrumental to our campus ministry that's coming up this year. And so we really want to hear the word of God from him. Let's give him a very warm applause.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Every Nation Church Gateway, good evening. How are you?
Good.
You guys doing great? Well, now is the time of the season that we are just back from all the losang or the yamsing for some of us. And now it's back to reality. Am I right? Some of us go now back to our jobs. Some of us are back to our businesses. And life goes on, right? All right. We are going to continue on with our Amazing Grace series. We've been going on for the past few weeks. Can you tell your neighbor, Amazing Grace? Right, we started off with abundant grace, then we have sanctifying grace, justifying grace. I think that's three so far. So today we are going to do number four, and it's going to be sufficient grace. And tonight we are going to see how sufficient grace can transform our suffering. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, we just praise you for gathering all of us here tonight. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will come and teach us. Both the speaker and all the hearers here, Lord, we pray that you touch every heart that is here. You speak to us your Rhema word this evening. And Lord, we know that we will be blessed because we are here this evening to listen to you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's text will be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. If you want to, feel free to read aloud together with me. I'm going to go through verses 1 to 4 first. I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. Wow. There's four verses here, and the gist of it, friends, is this. I want to focus our attention to what we learn from Paul in these verses. And in these four verses, most important point that I want to pick up tonight is this. Heaven is real. Amen. Think for a moment. Heaven is not a fairy tale. Heaven is not a make-believe imagination like some people in the world would think of. It's only found in movies and dramas and in books perhaps. And why do I say that? Why do I say heaven is real? Well, it's not me who say it, because whatever I say will not carry much weight. But it was found in 2 Corinthians, and Paul was actually referring to himself. Paul was the one who experienced heaven. Amen. As Christians, as believers, salvation is by grace. Grace through faith. And salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. And the good news is, friends, after we are saved, where do we go? After we are saved, do we have a place to be? Because life, our soul, will never die. Our soul goes on for eternity. So where do we go? Answer is right here. Heaven. And thank God heaven is real. As a matter of fact, it's not just Paul who said this. In the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament, we have many prophets who have seen heaven as well. For example, Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel has seen heaven. The prophet Isaiah, I believe there's no Isaiah here yet. Isaiah has seen heaven and experienced heaven as well. And not just that, the Apostle John. Okay? The Apostle John, especially in the New Testament, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, he has seen heaven in a vision very vividly. And they experience heaven. And what do you think heaven is like? Have anyone here experienced heaven? Maybe you have. I do not know. But let's see what the Bible says. Heaven, in Revelation, it says that it's a place where the streets are paved with gold. Gold, G-O-L-D. The The streets are made of gold. The buildings are made of gold and precious stones. You have jasper and so on and so on. So that is a wonderful praise. And the Word of God also says that in heaven is a place where there will be no tears. No tears. Fantastic, right? What does that mean? No pain, no suffering, and so on. Right? The best news of all is, other than heaven being real, Jesus himself said this. Jesus said somewhere in the New Testament, he said this. I go to heaven and I'll prepare mansions. Mansions, houses, homes, a place to stay for whoever who believes in him. Amen? That's the good news. All right? That's the good news of the gospel. And that's what we can find. That's why heaven is truly an important doctrine that we need to know. Okay, let's move on. The gist of the topic tonight is not about that, but let's move on to the other few verses. And I'd like to read out again 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 to 7. Join me if you want to. I will boast about men like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I will not be a fool because I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of this surpassingly great revelation. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Wow, it sounds a bit serious, especially the last verse, all right? But don't worry. Friends, we are going to go through it and look at the important points, right, from these verses, because we want to learn something from Paul. By the way, anyone knows who is Paul, the apostle of Jesus? Okay, let me explain. Not really, all right? Allow me just a minute to go back to a bit of background of Paul, all right? Just give me a minute. So Paul, before he was Paul the apostle, he was called by another name. He was called Saul, S-A-U-L, Saul of Tarsus. And when he was a young man, as a Jewish young man in those days, they all go to their Jewish Bible school. Okay, that's the closest example that I can think of, right? And he was not just an ordinary Bible school scholar. He was the top student of one of the top Jewish Bible teachers in his time, right? By the name of Gamaliel. He was a top student, and because of that, he after graduated, he became a Pharisee. The title that he got, one of it, is a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Means he's like the top priest, the top religious guy, the top religious authority in his time, right? And friends, you know that by having that credentials, Paul was a man with fame and fortune. Pharisees in those days, when they go to any meetings, when they go to any, for example, a wedding banquet, they'll get to sit in the best seats. They are like the VVIPs of their time. And due to his zealousness for the Jewish faith in these days, he persecuted, as a matter of fact, he persecuted a lot of Christians. He put a lot of believers in Jesus in jail. So he was a much feared person. But then something happened. One day when Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, Jesus himself appeared, right? Appeared to him. Cut a long story short, he believed in Jesus. He became one of the greatest apostles, become one of the greatest theologians, right, that we have. In the New Testament, right, close to one third of the chapters in the New Testament were written by Paul. And in those verses that Paul wrote in the Bible, they contain many important doctrines of our Christian faith, right? So he was a great theologian, a great contributor to our Christian faith, right? And of course, at the end of his life, he was martyred. But what my point, friends, I want to draw you to is Paul was a person from fame and fortune to becoming a humble servant of God. Right? It was a choice. Touched from God, the visitation from God, and he chose the better choice. Amen? He chose a better choice, which is to serve God, which is to serve the true and living God all the days of his life after his encounter with Jesus, right? He had a better choice. And this is what we can learn and highlight from this few words. Amen? All right. We're going to go further in the last three verses for today, all right, which is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Maybe this time, let us all read out together. In verse 8, let's start. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Right. If you look carefully, there's a few words in bold there. And the words that are bold here is, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? My grace is sufficient for you. So we are going to go a bit more into that. But for now, let's try to comprehend and what it means and what we can learn from Paul in these verses. Just like us, just like you and I, Paul is one person who has gone through many tribulations. Right? What tribulation is a biblical term, but it simply means here, in today's context, it simply means he's a person who has gone through a lot of problems and challenges in life. Just like us, just like you and I, as long as we are still on this earth, there are problems and challenges. As a matter of fact, Paul was one person who has gone through extreme tribulations. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, he talks about Paul being stoned. And in those days, when they stone someone, they'll stone you to death. So he was stoned, very badly injured before. He was shipwrecked three times. Yeah, you can't imagine being shipwrecked three times. He was given 39 lashes. By the way, what are lashes? The Roman whip, right? When he was whipped 39 times. And again, he went through that how many times? 5 times, right? But when in the earlier verses that we read, when Paul prayed, when Paul spoke to God, he did not complain about all the tribulations he went through. He just pleaded to God one thing, to remove the thorn in the flesh that was given to him. So my question is, did God remove the thorn in the flesh from Paul? What do you think? If you read the Bible carefully, answer was no. All right. And of course, the next question that might come to our mind is, what is the thorn in the flesh? Because it's not revealed in the Bible. Well, it can be anything because it's not revealed. But some Bible scholars believe that the thorn in the flesh is actually an eyesight problem. And because of that, many of the books that he wrote was actually written, got the help of a younger man to write it out for him. So probably it could be eyesight problem, but that's not the important matter. The thing is that he was suffering from something. And when he asked God to take it away, what was God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. Okay, imagine this, friends. If you and I, let's say we are facing hardship and suffering, and we pray to God, we pray hard, and God will answer us, my grace is sufficient for you. What would we do? First thing, we might not even understand what it means, right? My grace is sufficient for you. Grace, what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is something we get or we receive that we don't deserve it. So God says that my grace is sufficient for you. So whatever we face in life, just like Paul, all the stoning, the shipwreck, lashes, the thorn in the flesh, whatever it is, just like you and I, when we are still on earth, before we go to heaven, when we are still on earth, right? God's answer to all our life's sufferings and trials and challenges is this. It can be summed up in just a few words. My grace is sufficient for you. God's reply. Can we even comprehend this answer? How? How is God's grace sufficient for us being able to help us in our situation? The how is, the answer to the how, I'll just give you a quick answer to the how, is we press on, we persevere. Whatever trials and challenges we face, just like Paul, the answer to all this is, and the answer to the scripture which says my grace is sufficient for you, is that we persevere on, we press on. Amen. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's not a piece of cake. Yes, the road is not straight. It might be winding. But we press on. We persevere on. That is God's reply to us. My grace is sufficient. And church, why can we believe or why can we or how can we comprehend or how can we follow God's answer is this. We can trust God's words here because God is real. Amen. Regardless of all what the atheists in the world say, God is real. Jesus is real. Salvation is free. Salvation is by grace. And grace is sufficient to see us through all our worldly trials and tribulations. As a matter of fact, I love the song, Miracle Worker. How many of you love this song, Miracle Worker? Amen. Nice song, nice tune. Great worship leader, great worship team. Amen. All right. But more important than that, right? More important than that is, it says what? God is a miracle worker, right? And one pastor said this, every miracle in the Bible begins with a problem. Amen? Every miracle in the Bible, there are many, it always begins with a problem. So if you and I feel that we are facing problems and situations in life, what I can say to you, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, is this, your miracle might just be around the corner. Because you're having problems, right? Your miracle might just be around the corner because God is real. And to encourage everyone further, one more verse here, which is not on the slide, is Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, the second part, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Right? For those of us where sin, the Christian movie, Apostle Paul, was just shown probably last year. Right, this is one of his famous scriptures during the trailer of the movie. I remember this. When sin abounded, grace abounded much more. But how? It's a wonderful verse, but how does it apply in our lives, friends? Because I've heard remarks like this. Someone did tell me before, brother, you do not know the situation I'm going through. Wherever, this is one paraphrasing one brother who spoke to me. Brother, you don't know the world is so evil. There are evil people around, right? There are evil people in the office. There are people not so good everywhere. Every corner that this brother of mine went to, my answer to this brother is very simple. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So there might be a lot of ungodly people around us, but the grace of God will abound more than the evil that's in the world. The grace of God will abound more and will overcome the sin that's in the world. Amen? Right? That is our assurance, church. Because wherever we hear, wherever we life principles that we hold to, let us hold to the words that are found in the Bible. Okay? By the way, not many of us use traditional, old-fashioned Bibles like this, right? Okay? You probably use an app in your phone. Does not matter. Every word that comes from the mouth of God will not return void, but it shall come to pass. Heaven and earth might pass away, but the word of God will come to pass. Amen? So, I'd like to take us to a landing about tonight's sermon on sufficiency of grace by telling you guys some stories. All right? Can I do that? Okay, we got 10 minutes of storytelling, right? But disclaimer, I'm never a good storyteller, but I'll try my best, right? Maybe Dr. James can help out, you know, in a way or two. Anyway, maybe the best thing about telling stories is, how about telling something about myself first? This will be a funny one. Okay, question time, okay? I don't have 11 or 12 questions, but I have one question tonight. For example, let's say I have to travel to work, which is located 40 kilometers away from me, from where I stay. By the way, all these are true. Okay, so my first job was a factory, a manufacturing industry. It's located 40 kilometers away from where I stay. The question is, friends, a motorbike will be better or a car will be better? Yes? Car, motorbike? This is about, I need to reveal my age. This is about 20 over years ago. So I'm very close to Dr. James. Same generation, Dato. So in those days, a car is definitely better. Because you know why, when I took motorbike, imagine this, 40 kilometers of travel with motorbike. I'm from Penang. I stay on the island. The factory I work with was in Seberang Prai, for those of you who know Penang. So I have to practically ride my motorbike across the Penang Bridge every day without fail. And you know what happened? Many a times it was raining. Wow. Imagine, raining, motorbike, raining, Penang Bridge. You can have all the jackets in the raincoat and rain jackets. I'll show you one thing, you'll be wet, soaking wet. Right? Many times I reach my office, soaking wet. So I just probably bring a change of clothes and all that. But you not know that this motorbike, you might in your mind might think that it's bringing me some little suffering, being soaking wet, being cold in the rain in the aircon room, right? But you see, our God's ways are higher than our ways. And our God works in very many, many wonderful and wondrous ways that we can now imagine. The same motorbike actually built up my faith. Okay, let me share why. To cut a long story short, I was riding a bike for 7-8 years before I got a car. I met two accidents. One was riding over, didn't see a pothole, and I was thrown from the bike. Another one, a car wanted to hit me. I swerved to the left and hit another car. So instead of a car hitting me, I hit another car. And guess what? Both incidents, bike was slightly damaged. What happened to me? Guess what? Not a single scratch. Not a single scratch. I don't even know how is that possible, right? It must be God. Because I've seen terrible accidents, right? You and I know that, okay? Not a single scratch. And just one more point about the bike is, you see, when you ride a bike in those days, the tire is prone to being punctured, right? And you see people in Penang, they're around island pushing their bike because halfway around island, their bike puncture. Okay, let me share with you two testimonies. It really built my faith in God. Not that it doesn't happen to someone else. I guess it happens to others as well. But for me, especially so, at that point in my life, I wanted an answer from God, and this is how God answered me, through my motorbike. So other than protecting me from the two accidents, there are two occasions where my motorbike tire actually punctured. Number one, when it punctured right in front of a motorbike repair shop. Now, what are the coincidences? What are the chances, friends? Right in front of a motorbike shop, and there are not so many, by the way. Number two, the second time it punctured, I remember, there was no motorbike shop. I was getting worried. But next to me, along the road, there was a mobile mechanic, if there's such a time. There was a mobile mechanic who was actually repairing another motorbike, just about 10 meters away. So I had to push 5 meters. He met me halfway. Amen? It sounds small, it might even sound coincidental to many people, but not to me. Because I knew, in my heart, I knew at that time, it was God telling me something. Amen? Okay, so that's about me. I still got 5 more minutes. So, I'm going to share about a brother from Penang. Okay, it's a bit more solemn. This brother of mine, by the way, all the stories I'm going to tell you, a few other persons, they are all real. They are still alive today. They are someone I know. I have their mobile numbers in my mobile phone, all right? Okay, it's not taken from anywhere else. Okay, anyway, I have this brother of Penang. At his young age, he was involved in gangsterism, a bit of drugs as well. As a matter of fact, he was into the occultic as well. What is occultic? Means he worshipped the devil and things like that, occult, all right? And being a gangster, he was involved in gang fights a lot, and he was thrown into prison one day. Okay? That's normal, right? It happens to a lot of people out there. But his story is this. In prison, there was a Christian ministry in the prison. Praise the Lord. There was a Christian ministry in the prison that he was in. Right? And again, to cut a long story short, he believed, he was safe in prison. And after that, guess what? He gave his life to God. He decided to serve God full time. He was a missionary for many years. Right? He was single for a long, long time. How many of us are single here? Alright, don't worry. This brother of mine was single for a long time. Okay, but today, he's happily married with 2 children, and he's pastoring a church now, also in Penang, and he has an international ministry, an international prophetic ministry. Amen. From such a background, isn't God's grace sufficient for us? Amen. Especially this brother of mine, right? So each time I see him, I am encouraged. It reminds me of my motorbike. Amen? Okay, and very quickly, another brother, since we're in KL, right? You're not in Penang. And I also get to know along this couple of years ago, a brother from KL. He is an entrepreneur from young, just like Dato, right? But the difference is, when he was in his early 20s, his business wasn't doing well, okay? He was in debt. He borrowed money from everybody. And the worst of all, he borrowed money from his girlfriend then. So, you know, right, when you borrow money from girlfriends, it's bad, right? It was situation, financially, was so bad until he only had 1 ringgit left. Okay, need to do some object lesson here. He only had 1 ringgit left. So, he said this. He's going to take his 1 ringgit, that's all he has left. He stays in a flat, okay? He wants to go downstairs, go to a coffee shop. At that time, he could still get a Milo with 1 ringgit. He said he's going to drink the Milo, then he's going to go up, and he's going to jump down. That's how depressed he was. He was going to jump down because he can't accept failure. But guess what, friends? That very night, he had an encounter with a true and living God, and his name is Jesus. Just like Paul, just like Saul of Tarsus encountered Jesus, this young man encountered Jesus. And today, well, as I know, a true blue entrepreneur will never give up entrepreneurship. Am I right? He's still an entrepreneur today. He still is. But he's also happily married now. With my last count was 3, like it could be 4 by now. 3 or 4 children, he's happily married. He still has his business, rather successful, driving, I don't mind mentioning it, he's driving a BMW 7 Series. And at the same time, he's pastoring a church in KL. Wow. Amen? 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 He's like another Paul, right? A man who almost committed suicide. What a turnaround in a matter of perhaps 5 to 10 years, right? Okay, and since I got 2 more minutes, right? A last story, right? This is my favorite one, okay? I know this sister from Penang, all right? In fact, she just called me, but I forgot to return her call. That's very bad of me, right? Okay? Nobody knows who she is. Okay, she came from a family of poverty. What does that mean? poor family. All right? She had to work her way. She had to work and study. She was a temporary teacher. She had to study and work as a temporary teacher. Right? But that time, she was already a Christian. And somehow, God led her into the insurance industry. Okay? At first, it was pretty tough. Right? She tried so hard that she ended in hospital. Admitted in hospital for depression because of selling insurance. Wow, is that tough, right? That's why I never become an insurance agent. Right? But my point is this. The story has not ended. The story has not ended. All right? The story has not ended. 5 years later, right, and until today, she's a unit manager of her own agency. And not just any other agency. It's a multiple annual million-dollar roundtable agency. Right? So guess how much she earns. Right? Also a BMW. I do not know why all my friends like BMWs. Okay? Right? But the point is, church, what a turnaround. Isn't these stories, which are true, by the way, very true story, people that I personally know, talks about sufficiency of God's grace. Right? If these examples, with these stories, with these testimonies, you and I can pause for a moment in our life right now and think about, I'm sure all the stories that I mentioned, I'm sure some of them will relate to us, even right here, right now. Right? Okay? So I think as the music is playing, right? I just want to remind everyone that I mentioned earlier on is this. The sufficient grace. How? Yes, we know that grace is sufficient. But how do we do it? The how is, church, the how is we press on. We persevere. We press on. Alright? And truly, my last slide here. Amazing grace, which is our series for this month. Amazing grace transforms our sufferings into testimonies. Alright? Oops. What happened? Okay. Okay, doesn't matter. Our amazing grace transforms our sufferings into testimonies. Church, let me tell you from my experience of 20 over years walking with the Lord, God specializes in turning bad situation to a miraculous situation. Same like these people I mentioned. It's the same God who can do the same for you and I. Right here, right now, today in KL, right? The same God can do the same. And let us end with this verse. Okay? Memorize this verse if you can. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. All things work out for good for those who love God, who are according to His purpose. You and I, we just have to love God and do His will in our lives according to His purpose. And all things, mind you, whatever it is we are going through, all things will work out well. Amen? Alright, let us rise and we'll close in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you indeed, Lord. You are too marvelous for our words. You are too marvelous for even our praises, O Lord. But we